Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
How do I deal with a micromanager?
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Hey, welcome to today's episode. I am excited today because we're tackling a topic that so many people ask us about. My boss is a micromanager. You're going to get very specific things to say to help address that situation. We also have a question today that came in from a listener that I know many people will be able to relate with. So we'll get to that later in today's episode. And I'm also excited for this episode because this is the final episode, if you're listening in real time, before our book, Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict, hits the shelves. So it is days away if you're listening in real time. And if you're just a few days behind, why, it might even be out and you can have it in your hand or in your ear right away. So again, the book is Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict, What to Say Next to De-Stress the Workday, Build Collaboration, and Calm Difficult Customers. And while we're talking about dealing with a micromanager boss today, there are so many different scenarios. You'll get over 300 actual phrases you can use to de-escalate common workplace conflict situations, build more trust with your team and the people around you, make better decisions. These are all critical tools to ensure that your workplace issues are things you are addressing quickly before they fester, become more difficult to manage. You will become a guru, have a better work-life quality, all of those things, better results, enjoy your work more when you get the tools to navigate workplace conflict constructively and make it a positive thing instead of destructive. So the book's available in paperback, ebook, and of course you're listening so you can get it in your ear. Karen and I read it in the audiobook format, and we just yesterday, as I'm recording, received our first samples of the audiobook. It sounds great, so I know you'll love it in that format as well. So if you like what you hear in this episode, grab a copy of Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. And you know, while we're on the topic, I also want to mention a special that Karen and I are running. And this is something we don't do very often, and it is the absolute most cost-effective way to get a program for your organization. Normally you want to hire Karen or myself or both of us to come work with your organization. It's a heavy lift, and it takes a lot of resources, time, and so forth. This special we're running is 50 books. Buy 50 copies of Powerful Phrases for Dealing Workplace Conflict. And at bulk prices, that's about $650. So a steal compared to normal rates. And for that, we will do a live online one-hour program on the topic. We've got several different topics to choose from. Could be collaboration, could be teamwork, could be helping solve some specific problems. Lots of different directions we can go with that. If you're interested in more information, you can email me, david.dye@letsgrowleaders.com, and I'd love to get you in on that. And so that is available to book until the end of June. You don't have to do the program in June. So June 30th, 2024, that offer goes away. Get in before June 30th. You can book it for any time the rest of the year that's going to work for you. All right, so there you go. Get your 50 copies, or just get your copy. Want to make sure you get your copy of Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. All right, am I a little excited? Yes, this is a great book. I am so proud of the work here that we've done, and you know, specifically how it's going to help as we get it into people's hands. So I do hope that you'll grab a copy and get some for the people that you care about who have workplace conflict. And if you're human and you're working, you probably do. All right, well, let's get into today's topic. Today, we're talking about micromanager bosses. How do I deal with my micromanager boss? It's one of the most frequently asked questions in our leadership development programs. It was a theme in the World Workplace Conflict Collaboration Survey. Heard a lot of answers about that. And we hear complaints from employees at every level, not just frontline employees. I mean, you have vice presidents who complain about micromanagement as well. We've talked with CEOs who feel micromanaged by their boards, right? Project team members who are aggravated by a project manager slowing them down with a need for constant updates. And of course, yes, frontline employees who are trying to follow a script and feel over-controlled in what they're doing. Over-involved managers frustrate people all over the world. And hopefully you're not one of them. But what's fascinating is that we hear an equally common frustration from over-involved managers. And you might be, as we're diving into this topic, you might be thinking this yourself. Why do I have to get involved in all the details? I shouldn't have to be involved at this level. But if I don't, something's going to fall through the cracks. Why can't my team see these issues and fix them? So yes, we often hear both sides of the story. An employee will complain about their boss being a micromanager, and then when we talk with the micromanaging boss, that manager rants through a long list of drop balls and other performance challenges that have caused them to get involved in situations they'd rather not have to deal with. Two very frustrated, hopefully well-intentioned people wish they could fix the problem but have very different views on that same situation. So, how can you tell if you have a frustrated manager who genuinely wants to help or a true micromanager? So this is where we get into the powerful phrases. And we're going to start with powerful phrases to ask yourself before you have a conversation with your micromanager. Because regardless of whether your boss is great or a ridiculous micromanaging pain in the butt, there is a good chance that your boss is also a human being. Okay, actually, I'm 100% sure they're human. It can be easy to forget that sometimes. So, you know, tongue in cheek, but it's a good reminder. It's critical to keep in mind for successful conflict with your manager that you're dealing with a human being, someone who may want you to succeed and is tired or dealing with their own intense pressures that you might not fully understand. You've certainly got those that your team doesn't understand, and so does your manager. So as with any conflict, doing your best to connect personally and depersonalize the conflict is going to go a long way to helping you. So if there's even a small possibility that your boss is over-involved because they're genuinely concerned, it's better to know that up front. And so here's some questions to tease that out. Powerful phrase number one, dealing with a micromanager boss. Again, questions to start with to ask yourself, how am I doing, really? Can I show or document my success? So before anything else, look at your work objectively. Be as brutally honest as you can. Is it quality? Or are you making consistent errors or repeating the same mistakes after learning how to do it correctly? Does your work ethic match the organization's culture? Can't tell you how often we know people who complain about a micromanaging boss, but who consistently send out grossly incorrect data, the wrong dates for meetings, repeatedly make the same mistakes despite receiving coaching, or they're consistently arriving late to meetings and they're not reliably meeting deadlines. So if any of those sound familiar, your manager might not be a micromanager. He or she might be trying to help you succeed in your role. Here's another one. Is it just me or everyone? Another powerful phrase to ask yourself. If you work in a team or a group, pay attention to how your manager interacts with your colleagues. Is she directive in checking in with everyone all the time, or is it just you? If there's a pattern of controlling behavior across the board, more likely you have a micromanager. But if it's just you, or maybe one other person, that's important data that your manager has concerns or frustrations and is trying to help you perform at a higher level. Has something significant changed? Another powerful phrase, question you can ask yourself. This is paying attention to timing. Is there a new source of stress? Maybe their directive behavior, this what we're seeing as micromanaging, is coming during a ramp for a product launch or a high-stakes board meeting, or after there's been a major revenue shortfall. Now, these aren't reasons for a manager to micromanage. They're not excuses, but they can explain what's causing the behavior, and it starts to give you the ability to build a better working relationship. So let's get in then to some of the phrases that you might use to start a conversation with your micromanaging boss. So whether your manager is a true micromanager or trying to help, there are some powerful phrases you can use to open the conversation that are going to improve your relationship and your experience, and theirs too. So it's going to help you on both sides. Here we go, starting with connection. I care about our success and want to make sure I'm doing my part. One of the best ways you can start these conversations is affirming your commitment to the team and the work. And getting that intention into the conversation builds your connection, opens the door for a productive conversation. Next up, and I have used this one many times in these situations. Here we go. I've noticed that. This is a powerful phrase to create clarity. Sometimes all you have to do is draw attention to the facts. And that's what you're going to do here. You're drawing attention to the facts. So I might finish that, I've noticed that, with, and this was a real one for me. Hey, I've noticed that you have asked for an update on this 5 times in the last day. Or I think it was 5 times since you got here this morning. Right, so just drawing attention to the facts. I'm going to continue on with that sentence, but just start there. You notice I'm not saying, I'm noticing you're micromanaging. I'm not labeling it. I'm not attacking. I'm just observing the facts of what's happening. Then you follow that I noticed phrase with curiosity. So here are some examples of how you might follow up. Hey, so I've noticed that you've asked for about this. You've asked for this update 5 times since you got here this morning. How can I help? Is there something I've missed? Do you have a concern about how, you know, we agreed the finish line for this was the end of day today, and it sounds like there's something else going on. So you ask a question that's going to create space for both of you to learn or grow. The questions allow your manager to share genuine concerns, but it's also going to cause them to reflect on why they're acting the way they are. So in the case of the manager I had, who I actually asked that question of, hey, I've noticed that you've asked for this 5 times in the last couple hours, what's going on? You know, he paused, kind of reflected for a second, said, oh, okay. And he confessed he's under a lot of pressure. There's no margin for error on this thing. He's feeling really stressed about it. He's got people he's got to report to, some major revenue at stake, this kind of thing. Like, okay, so then we can figure out how to help our micromanager by asking for what you want. So once you're aware of your manager's concern, or that they don't specifically have one, if they're just acting out of habit, then you can ask for what you want. So here's a phrase to do that. I'm hearing blank. Can I commit to blank? So begin your response by acknowledging your manager's concerns. Then move to how you'll address them. For example, you might say, like, I'm hearing that the executive vice president is requesting frequent updates because the board is concerned about her progress. Okay. Can I make a commitment to bring you in writing briefs that you'll get on Wednesdays? I'll do them in writing on Wednesdays, in writing and verbally on Friday before lunch. We'll be able to make faster progress if we're not pulling up to provide the updates every day. How does that sound? So you're responding to their concern, and you're proposing a solution to meet both of your needs. You need uninterrupted time to work. They need updates in a frequency that's going to keep everybody informed. Here's another one. I want to try blank. Can you and I set a quick meeting at specific time to make sure we're on track? So this is another powerful phrase you can use to show your responsibility and create commitment that gives your manager confidence. So maybe in use it could look like, I want to try 2 weeks of huddles where I lead them on my own so we can focus on peer solution sharing. Can you and I set up a quick meeting at the end of each week to see if you have any concerns and make sure we're on track? So you're creating that space to do what you need to do, but also to take care of their concerns and ensure that they're having the input to help you be your best. So these are some powerful phrases that you can use to deal with a micromanaging boss. First, to tease out whether they're really micromanaging or they're trying to help you succeed. And then, if there is some micromanagement going on, how to ask for what you want, call attention to what's happening, ask for what you want in a way that's going to build your relationship and help you get the results that you need. Your micromanager boss, they might feel stressed, insecure, maybe they had poor role models, or they could be giving you the genuine training and help that you need to succeed. So after you've honestly assessed your performance and you feel confident that you're doing what you know how to do, that conversation will help you both. All right, so there you go, dealing with a micromanager. Now it's time to turn our attention to a question that came in, and this one came in on the big orange button. And if you want to leave your question, you can do that at leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com. You'll see a big orange button on that page. Push it, record your question like Renee did today, and we'll be able to use that in a future episode. Or you can email me your question at david.dye@letsgrowleaders.com.
Hey, this is Nora, and I have a question.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie, and I'm calling in from Maine. My question is about...
Hey, David. This is Julian from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
This is John from Colorado Springs.
This is Johan White from Kingston. I have a question for you.
This is Cynthia from Baltimore.
Hi, David. This is Susan from New Jersey, and my question is...
Hi, David. This is Dean from Denver.
I would love your advice on this.
Today's question comes from Renee.
I want to start by saying I love the show. It's been very educational and very informative to me in my leadership role, of which I have been in for roughly 7 months now. I am leading a team that I was a part of side by side before I became their supervisor. This team has had no less than 6 supervisors in the last 5 years. All of the supervisors before me have failed to lead this team in one way or another. How can I effectively lead my team and come into my role in my position and be able to build up my team and give them constructive criticism and have them be open to listening and understanding and bouncing ideas off of me and each other? Communication is my biggest barrier with my team. I have tried various different avenues on trying to build this team together, all of which are not working very well.
All right, Renee, thank you for that question and appreciate you listening to the show. Glad to hear that it has been helpful for you. So I love this question. There's several different parts to this question, so I want to kind of tease each of these out. So let's start with the fact that you're part of a team that has had 6 different managers over the last couple of years, it sounds like, and none of them have succeeded. And now you've been asked to lead this team. So you're now leading your former peers and your friends, or potentially at least people you've had that relationship as a coworker. So the first place to start with all of these kinds of conversations is with the truth and with reality and with connection. So when we go back to our 4 dimensions, we talked about connection, talked about clarity, we talked about curiosity and commitment. And all 4 of these dimensions are going to serve you in this moment. So if you are like Renee in a situation where you're dealing it with a team, you're leading a team now that has had a lot of difficulties in the past, and or you are having to lead friends and former peers, which is also the situation here, let's start by recognizing, yeah, that's a tough place to be. But these 4 dimensions will help. So we're going to start with connection and our intent. So as you're talking with your team, recognize it's going to take time to establish trust. There is probably very, very low trust on the team because of all the dysfunction that's happened in the past. But we don't have to hide from that. So you can start a conversation individually, one by one, as you're building relationships, saying, hey, listen, I know that things have been difficult for us in the past. I'm aware of that. And as the leader of the team now, been asked to do the role, I am really committed to supporting us in what our success should look like and figuring out how to do that. And I'm not going to be able to do that alone. It's going to take all of us. So I'm starting with connection. My intent for this conversation, my intent for our leadership is for us, for A, I have your best interest at heart. I have the team's best interest at heart. And you want to clarify what you're trying to do and acknowledge the emotion of it. You might even ask people, how are you feeling? Just with a, you know, honestly, this is a lot of change. We've had a lot of difficulties. How are you feeling? And whatever they're feeling, just reflect it. Acknowledge it. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like you're really frustrated. Yeah. Sounds like you're feeling a little hopeless. Yeah. I get that. Yep. Yep. Okay. Acknowledge how they're feeling. Don't have to argue with it. They're entitled to their feelings. So we're going to move then to clarity. So listen, here's what we're accountable for as a team. Here's what success looks like. And I want to know what success looks like for you. So again, getting at the individual level, getting everybody's vision. Hey, what do you think this team's capable of if we're at our very best? I love that question when you're first getting into leadership for a new team, individually asking everybody, what do you think we're capable of when we're at our very best? And then crafting that into a shared vision of the future for everyone that's got input from everyone, including you. As you move forward with that, also clarify that you also have a responsibility. Listen, my job is also, I want to help each of us to succeed, and I want to help us succeed collectively. And so I'm going to make sure that I'm trying to balance all of those interests. And that can be tough, it can be challenging, but that's the job, so I'm up for it. And if you see me not doing that, you have more than permission. You have my invitation. Please talk with me about it. And Renee, it sounds like you're going to get a lot of skepticism from your team as you start having these conversations, and that's okay. It's human nature. I would be skeptical in that situation too. It's going to take time for you to win trust, and what will win that trust is as they see you following through on your word, following through on the commitments that you make, genuinely acting in their best interest, genuinely acting with ethics, integrity, follow through, whatever some of the elements that have been missing in the past are. Now, you may have some folks on the team that really shouldn't be there. Maybe they're underperforming chronically and so on. Well, we got to give them a fair shake too. So you have the conversation with them. So listen, this is where I am. This is what we need to be doing. Do you have any questions, concerns? Because this is what success looks like for your role. And I want to make sure to help you get there. That's my goal. I want to help you succeed here and get to this level. And if they say, well, you know, I don't want to, I don't think that's possible. Say, well, okay, I hear that and acknowledge it. And it is what needs to happen. If you don't believe that you can get there right now, I do believe you can get there. And I want to support you in that. Is that a journey you want to make together? I'm here for you if you do. You know, you're giving them that choice, not telling them what they have to do, not telling anybody how they have to feel, but you're inviting them. Do they want to go down that road of success? For some people, they may have been comfortable with the dysfunction. For others, they may have been really frustrated by it because they really do want to be a great performer. It's going to take time and a relationship for you to tease all that out. So we're starting with connection, getting into clarity. Then as you go down the road of you've established the connection, you're starting to build relationships, you're getting the clarity of those conversations, what does success look like? You get into curiosity about how can we as a team do our best and start having those conversations and where you can find ways to say yes to team input. So you're creating shared ownership. Any of those that you can find are also going to help with your building of morale, building of trust, credibility, and having people's best interests at heart. So going back to some of our conversations about trust, four elements of trust you really want to think about, your credibility. Do people believe you know what you're doing? Reliability. Can people count on you to keep your word and follow through on what you say? Connection. Do you know one another as human beings? And then finally, the big one that multiplies all the rest, either negatively or positively, is do you have their best interests at heart? And so those are the questions your people are asking you, asking of you, even if they're not putting them out loud. And so you want to be able to answer those and invest in those as a leader, particularly in these kinds of new and challenging moments. So, Renee, I'm not getting into specific communication techniques. You have to be, you know, be you. You've got your personality in those moments. But in general, those are the things you want to be investing in. Ask people how they're feeling. Check in with what's going on for them. What do they think is possible? What does the future look like when they really think about it as positively as they can? Have some patience. It's going to take time for people to learn to trust because there's a lot of woundedness happening It's going to take time to rebuild that. And you can ask for some grace on that too. Hey, listen, I know this is tough. I know that you probably are skeptical. I am. I would be too. Can you give me a little time that we can work through this together? I want to prove to you that I've got your best interests at heart and that our team can do this. And that's what I'm here for. So those are a couple of suggestions. And then the final of the C's that we were talking about, we got connection, we got clarity, curiosity. The final one is commitment. And this is where you want to build some shared agreements going forward about how you're going to do things. And accountability is part of this. So as you start creating clear commitments to one another, as you start scheduling the finish, inevitably someone's not going to follow through. Something's not going to happen. And you need to follow through on those with accountability. That also, while it may not always feel good, if someone's like, oh, well, now she's in charge. Look at this. What's she doing? There's a deeper message that's being communicated. That is, you actually care, that you're actually committed to everyone's success, and that you value their quality work, their effort, and what they're doing. And so as you create and follow through on those commitments, your credibility is also going to increase, and the team morale will increase as they start having collective success, and it will help weed out some of the people who over time maybe shouldn't be there if you have anyone like that on the team. So there you go. A couple of specific ways that you can start investing in your team's future and in your own leadership, building those critical relationships. When you're taking over a team that has had a lot of woundedness or dysfunction in the past from bad, poor leadership, or you're starting with a team that you've been a member of, and now you're leading friends and former peers. Renee, thanks again for the question. And listener, I would love to answer your question on a future episode. So as I said, you can go to leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com, hit that orange button, record yours, or email it david.dye@letsgrowleaders.com. Okay, so today we've been talking about specific phrases you can use to deal with a micromanager, figure out if they're actually micromanaging or they're just trying to help and you need the help. Good to know either way. And then we heard from Renee and that question about how do you take over a new team that's had a lot of dysfunction in the past, a lot of bad leadership, poor leadership, and you're leading friends and former peers. All great questions, powerful phrases we can use for all of them. And so if you like what you've heard in this episode, cannot invite you strongly enough, grab a copy of Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. And let me know if there are specific conflicts or questions you have, either with that orange button or my email. I'd love to answer those in a future episode for you. And once again, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the journey, for sharing all of your comments, for your shares of the podcast, for the work they're able to do. When we're at conferences, if you're listening in real time, we're going to be at ATD in New Orleans here just in a week or two here at the end of May, getting to the May 20, what is that, 19, 20, 21, 22 in there. So come up, say hi, love to hear from you. Last year, got to talk to some listeners in real life is always fun, so I'd love to hear from you. All right, there you go. Use your powerful phrases. Figure out if that person's a micromanager or just trying to help. And until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.